I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. And verses 27 to 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And we thank God for those incredible words, once again, of Jesus Christ. So I wonder if you follow people on maybe Twitter or Instagram. Do you follow politicians, perhaps? Do you follow celebrities? Perhaps you're following us today on the live stream, on the live chat. Who do you follow? You can always put it into the live chat, perhaps. Who do you follow on Twitter? I'm not sure this is what Jesus meant by following him. I often follow George, my husband, not on Twitter. He's not on social media, but I literally follow George, my husband. Yesterday, for example, we went for a walk in the woods. It was wet, it was dark, the path was really uneven and difficult to navigate. And I followed right behind him, as I often do on walks. I stepped where George stepped, and he's pretty sure-footed. And I turned right when he went right. I turned left when he went left, because I know he's got an excellent sense of direction. And I trust him after many years of experience following him. Constantly asking him questions. Do you know where we are? Yes. Do you know where we're going? Yes. And I remember we went to Venice. We hadn't long been together. We went to Venice. And during the day, we'd walk for miles down these beautiful, narrow streets that to me all looked the same, especially at dark. And we'd walk home in the evening, it would be dark, and George would barely look at a map. He'd weave left, right, straight on, down all these narrow, beautiful, but to me looking all very similar, lanes until we arrived safely at our hotel. And I was quite amazed at the time, not having that gifting myself. No wonder I married him. And it struck me yesterday, as I was trotting along behind George in the woods, that this is what it's like to follow Jesus, or what it should be. As close as possible, stepping where he steps, turning right when he goes right, left, straight on, trusting him in the dark when we don't have a clue where we're going or where we are. And perhaps even harder, for me, I find it harder to trust Jesus in the light, where I think I do know where I'm going. It's tempting to overtake him or to take a route that looks a bit more sensible and pleasant than the one he's leading us down. And the early disciples did literally follow Jesus. They got so close behind him that they got covered in the dust, kicked up by his sandals. I have always struggled a bit to understand the concept of Jesus as a shepherd. I don't know about you, but when I think of sheep farming in the West, I think of one man and his dog, the TV program that used to be on. I don't know if it still is. It could well be. Any nods in the studio? Do we still have one man and his dog? But when I think of a shepherd, it makes me think of a man with a peak cap, with an envious whistle, with a very energetic and obedient dog, ushering very harassed and frightened and stupid-looking sheep into a pen. And the sheep never seem to do much following or listening. And there we have a great picture of a shepherd, I guess, one type of shepherding. So the shepherd is behind the sheep, and the sheep are just doing as they're told. Whereas apparently Middle Eastern farming methods, biblical farming methods, were entirely different. And these, to me, made much more sense of what Jesus is saying in these passages. This is quite astonishing to me and quite beautiful, but the sheep would know and trust the shepherd over time as they built up a relationship, a bit like me trotting along behind George. They would recognize their shepherd, recognize their shepherd's voice, and would follow them. If they don't follow their shepherd, I think you all know that sheep have a terrible tendency to follow each other, which often leads them into great danger. And I've talked about this before, but I remember reading a story about sheep. One ran over a cliff, and tragically then hundreds more just followed to their death. Sheep have a tendency to just follow each other, and we really have to be careful who we follow. I think it's great, Twitter, Instagram, but there's so many voices out there that we could follow that would lead us astray. And Jesus refers also to wolves who will attack the flock at any given opportunity. The Bible warns against untrustworthy and false shepherds. For example, Ezekiel 34. Untrustworthy and false shepherds that attack and abuse the sheep rather than caring for them. And actually, last week we talked about the Pharisees, and Jesus calls them blind guides, leading many astray with their teaching. We have to be very careful who we follow and who we listen to. And as Jesus describes himself as a shepherd, once again, he's taking upon himself the identity of God himself, who is described as a shepherd throughout the Old Testament. Right from the start, actually, in Genesis, when Jacob blessed his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, Jacob speaks of God as a shepherd. He says, "May the God in whose presence my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd from my birth to this day." And that's Genesis 48. Maybe most famously, David, who was also obviously a shepherd, and it takes one to know one. A man after God's own heart. In Psalm 23, David beautifully describes the Lord as his shepherd. And is it any coincidence, as Luke tells us, today Jesus was born in the town of David in Bethlehem. Jesus was from the line of David on Mary's side. And is it, again, any coincidence, the first to hear of the birth of Jesus, the first to visit on the same day as his birth? I think you've guessed it was the shepherds. Shepherds are close to God's heart, and actually the most referenced of the I am statements in the Bible. And as I looked into the Jesus as shepherd, there is such a rich wealth of information. You could almost do a whole sermon series on Jesus as a shepherd. But I know you have turkeys and Brussels sprouts to prepare today, so we're just going to look at a few key points. And I think it's good to look at the life of David to find out more, who had vast experience as a shepherd and was also a man who followed God all the days of his life. Firstly, David had an intimate, personal relationship with God. The Psalms reveal David's every thought and emotion laid bare before God. And he starts Psalm 23 with, "The Lord is my shepherd." Not a shepherd or the shepherd, but my shepherd. David was born into obscurity. He was unknown and he was overlooked, the youngest of the brothers. And in Israel, as in other ancient societies, a shepherd's work was considered the lowest of all work. If a family needed a shepherd, it would be the youngest son, like David, who got this unpleasant assignment. However, despite David being overlooked, God saw him, chose him, and knew him. And amazingly, shepherds in this culture knew each sheep by name, such as Long Ears or White Nose, and they called them individually, and the sheep would respond. They would know when one had gone missing. And to me, this is nothing short of a miracle, because I don't know about you, but sheep to me all look exactly the same. Jesus, too, made a career out of turning nobodies into somebodies, the unknown into known. And Jesus also says he knows his sheep. And the translation for the word know is the most intimate knowledge of someone you could possibly have. He doesn't just know your name, whether you're called Long Nose or Big Ears. He knows your every thought and every word before you even speak it. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And as David says in another Psalm, 139, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. David also speaks of a God who protected him. David's journey from the field to the castle, shepherd to king, was fraught with many dangers, toils, and snares. Following God, Jesus, is not the safe and comfortable option. However, God preserved his life time after time. And this is what the rod and the staff refer to in verse 4 of Psalm 23. David said, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And shepherds used their staff to rescue their sheep from dangerous situations and guide them the right way. And the rod was used to defend the sheep against predators and enemies. And no wonder David was comforted as the Lord protected him, guided him, and defended him against his enemies all the days of his life. And David would have thoroughly understood this concept as he himself protected his own flock from enemies such as lions and bears, endangering his very own life for his sheep. And Jesus, too, preserves the life of his sheep. Verse 28, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." So as David goes on to say, even though we might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For those who follow Jesus, we may walk through tough and dark valleys, and where the shadow of death might cast its fearful outline over us. Yet it is only a shadow. For if we follow Christ, death has no hold on us. Death is not our final destination, as Jesus took the full reality of death on himself. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for the sheep and conquered death on our behalf. And Charles Spurgeon says, "Death in its substance has been removed for those that follow Jesus, and only the shadow remains. And nobody should be afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway for even a moment. Therefore, we fear no evil, for God is with us, and no one can ever snatch us from Jesus' hands when we follow him." We've spoken a little of the qualities of the shepherd, the good shepherd, but what of us, the sheep? And again, my view of sheep has been really skewed by very passive looking creatures being driven this way and that, seeming to have no free will or choice. However, if we read the account of David's life, we see clearly he had free will to either follow God or go his own way. And no one fell more dramatically than David, who committed adultery and murder. However, he was still called a man after God's own heart. No wonder David could write in Psalm 23 that goodness and mercy followed him all the days of his life. And he certainly needed God's goodness and mercy time after time. Jesus tells us not just that he knows his sheep, but if we are his sheep, we will know him and we will listen to his voice. And Jesus himself modeled this two-way relationship with God, his Father, as he was known by his Father, but he also sought his whole earthly life to follow and know his Father's will. Following Jesus is absolutely not the easy, safe, or comfortable option. It is costly. And as Jesus laid down his life for us, he asks that we lay down our life to follow him. And I think the shepherds on the very first Christmas day, for me, illustrate this. Once again, God found the lost and the unknown with an overly extravagant display of his glory. The shepherds were told the good news, and then the angels left them. I believe at that moment, the shepherds chose to lay down their lives and decided to run to follow Jesus. Did they really comprehend what was going on? But they chose to trust and to follow. I have no idea what they did with their sheep. This was their livelihood they left behind. But as they followed, they gain their salvation. It says they spread the word. They gain their purpose. They were probably the first evangelists, because it says in Luke that all who heard them were amazed. And they were filled with joy, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. There may be costs to following Jesus. There may be stuff we need to leave behind. And perhaps some of you today, there's things that you need to lay down to follow Jesus. But there is so much more to be gained, which again, I believe is all beautifully described in Psalm 23 by David, which is likely written by him later in life with the benefit of hindsight. And interestingly, both Jesus and David speak of pasture for the sheep. And in the areas around Jerusalem, apparently the hillsides are mainly dirt and sand. There's not a lot of lush green grass. And all you find are a bunch of rocks and maybe the odd sprig of grass popping up here and there. You can have a look at this photo. It's not the best, but you can see dirt paths crossing the hillsides and little bits of green grass here or there. It's not a lot of grass, but just enough for the sheep to eat and then move on. If the sheep remain in one place for too long, the green pasture is gone. It's all eaten up. And I think Psalm 23 screams of this, this sense of movement, of walking, of being guided. Following Jesus is not passive or sedentary, but it's active and it's ever-changing. And there's certainly times of rest, certainly times of stopping. But it's like when I follow George, there's times of movement. It's where is Jesus going? It's constant movement, and then there's a time of rest. It's watching what Jesus does. There will always be more green pasture, but we have to keep vigilantly watching and listening to Jesus and where he's going. And my prayer for all of us this Christmas and into the new year is to more closely follow Jesus, to tuck in right behind him, to not draw alongside him, to not overtake him, to not go away of our own choosing, but to tuck in right behind him, to hear his voice, to see where he's leading us as individuals and as a church. And I thought we could conclude with praying Psalm 23 as we pray the glorious benefits of following Jesus Christ. So maybe we could have those words come up on the screen. We can pray that together. So the Lord is my shepherd. We shall not want. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our souls. He will lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For Lord, you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil and our cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.